Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Cooles. Welcome to Barça Talk. I'm your host, Gabriel Quiroga, here in the Spanish capital. In today's episode, we're going to do a quick review on the Copa del Rey elimination, a preview of the Villarreal match, and a quick update on FCB Femini. Before we dive into today's topics, want to talk about our dynamic Patreon community. If you're craving more Barça content, we've got the perfect hub for you, our Patreon community. It's not just a community, it's a virtual peña where your passion for FC Barcelona finds company and conversation. For just $5 a month, here are some of the perks you will get. Dive into commercial-free episodes of Barça Talk. It's all football, no interruption. Be part of our international WhatsApp group where the Barça chatter never ends. Get insightful post-game match reports and help support the podcast. Hit that link in the show notes and join our virtual peña. Let's get into today's episode right after this brief break. Happy Friday, everyone. Hope everyone is having a good start to the day. I actually have a long weekend, which is always pretty nice. Again, one of the perks of living in Spain is we have a festival today for marketing. And since I work at a marketing agency, they gave us the day off today. So yeah, so I'm going to take advantage of a long weekend. I have Monday off as well, so I'm going to be watching the NFC Championship and supporting my San Francisco 49ers. But enough of that. We have some Barca things to talk about. Going forward, we're going to try to do episodes on Friday. Mostly, they're going to be previewing the upcoming match on the weekend, and they're going to be a little bit shorter, but hopefully it'll give you some insight on the opponent, and then obviously if there's any kind of news that's coming out of here in Spain. But they're going to be a little bit shorter episodes, maybe 10 to 15 minutes long on Friday. So we're going to try to be doing that. And again, if you want more Barca chatter, I mean, our WhatsApp group is always on fire, especially on Wednesday night after the match. I always talk as if it's a, you know, therapy for Barca fans sometimes, because sometimes you just need a vent, let it out, and then move on to the next day. And I think that's one of the cool aspects about our WhatsApp group. All right, let's get into the Copa del Rey match. So, I mean, no surprises here, right? I mean, I know we were all kind of hoping to try to advance, but it was going to be a tall task to go to the San Mamés. I mean, that crowd was fired up. I had one of my old roommates who's Basque texting me, telling me that they were going to kill us and so forth. And I said, yeah, we're not very good this year. And, you know, Athletic Bilbao is always a tough team for us to play. And Valverde had those boys ready to go. I mean, from the kickoff, right? And again, Athletic Bilbao beats Barca 4-2. The two goals coming in injury time. But to me, I feel as though we were lucky to get those two goals. Obviously, the Lamine Yamal, we'll talk about his performance and his goal in a second, but the Lewandowski ricochet goal, I mean, sure, we'll take it. You'll take anything right now to get back into the match. But, I mean, Athletic Bilbao they looked men against boys is what it looked like, especially the physicality they were bringing. They were just really focused, and we were not. And that lends us to a trend we've been seeing all year, right? It's the early goal. And I mean, I literally sat on my couch, flipped the laptop, I was opening Twitter, and I just kind of look up and I'm like, oh God. And then Athletic Bilbao scores in 30 seconds. And I think, you know, when we've been talking the last couple of weeks about Xavi's coaching and stuff, this to me is so telling about a coach in professional sports. When you are seeing a trend and not making any adjustments to this trend, what are we doing? You know, there's been more than six matches where we've let the other team score first, but also score first within the first 5 minutes. I mean, what is he doing in these talks before the match? I mean, is it being highlighted? I mean, how do you give up a goal in 30 seconds? You know, I'm just thinking about my whole playing career, quote unquote, you know, playing in school and so forth. And I only remember a handful of times I scored maybe under in a minute, and it was luck, you know. But the way Athletic Bilbao just came down on our defense and just took it to us in 30 seconds was a telling sign of what was going to come for this match, because Athletic Club, they dominated this match. Even though we had a bit more possession, they clearly were out for blood, and the way they were crossing and just creating havoc in our box was something that Valverde definitely pointed out to his team to attack, and that's what they did. And it was funny because in our WhatsApp chat we were talking, is like, can we bring Valverde back? I mean, that's what's crazy about this time right now is, you know, at the moment, you know, I still had my issues with Valverde. I thought he was not charismatic. I thought we needed someone a little bit more spicy for FC Barcelona. And also tactically, I thought he was stubborn. But, you know, now that we have Xavi and we're having other issues, right? Like, especially like letting the goal score in 5 minutes or less, it's kind of funny how you see Valverde running Athletic Bilbao and they just look like a professional team right now. We are spiraling right now because we don't know what to do with the team. The team is good enough to perform, but tactically, philosophically, we look behind the times right now. And it's really discouraging. It really is, because, you know, we've had these talks, you know, Remy's been talking, I've been talking with Craig, we've been talking about this idea of philosophy and style and what's sustainable and so forth. And, you know, we are just looking for something to talk about other than just complaining about Xavi, right? And again, I'm going to complain about Xavi right now, because I think one of the things that we thought that he was going to be able to bring as a coach is the understanding of the philosophy and the evolution of this philosophy. The fact that we don't look hungry for goals is really maddening to me, especially as a, you know, when I played football, that's like one of the things I love watching is really supreme professional attacking football. And yeah, there's moments where we have that, you know, especially with the Lamine Yamal goal, but to lead up to those points, it's really maddening that we're not taking advantage of these counters. And I don't know why Xavi so has this mantra or is scared to let these players play and to exhibit that. You know, it's always about the horizontal pass and the keeping the possession. But man, I mean, how many times do we just look like we don't want to go for goal? And especially in this match, you know, there were, you know, especially when they go up 1-0, they're cruising, they're just, you know, playing with us. I mean, how many times did we really have opportunities where we were really hungry for goal and actually trying to go for the game? Again, I it's just frustrating because now it's becoming a secondary watch for me now with Barcelona. I have it on, but I'm not really interested. I'm just not interested because the matches are just boring, right? I mean, we're not showing any life. We don't look like we have speed sometimes. It's just very, it's a very mixed bag of what we're seeing. We do have to give a lot of credit to Athletic Bilbao. Obviously, they did take it to us, you know, especially with the shots, right? I mean, that's, I think, to me, is always a big telling stat, right? I mean, they had close to 30 shots, you know, with seven shots on goal, where we were half of that, you know? And I would say our shots were just completely weak. I mean, you saw as soon as Iñaki Williams comes in, you know, I put in the chat, he literally landed that day from the Ivory Coast, right? He comes from the AFCON Cup airport to Bilbao airport, then he goes right to the stadium essentially, and you saw what he did at the beginning. He took a couple shots, right? He skied them, but he was kind of just calibrating himself, right? And we had no answer for the Williams brothers on the sidelines. I really enjoy watching them play. I love seeing their physicality. I wish Iñaki played for Spain. I think that is one of the players that Spain is missing. But yeah, it's Athletic Bilbao was just impressive, and they really just took it to us. And again, with the amount of dangerous occasions they had and shots, our defense was wavering all night long. And I don't know. You know, we can talk about the missed chance for Lamine Yamal. I mean, but if we advance, is that still good for us? I don't know. I mean, obviously, yes, from a financial aspect and trying to get for a trophy, I get that. But I just think it's a false sense of who we really are. You know, if we advance through the Copa del Rey on this round, when Lamine makes that goal in like the 93rd minute and we win, we pull out a victory, sure, we make it to the next round. But again, I just think it prolongs the inevitable of being eliminated, because this team is just not good enough. It's just not good enough to do anything. And it looks like this season is going to be a trophyless season. I don't think we have the stamina, the mental wherewithal to catch Girona or Real Madrid this year, and it's going to be trophyless. Now, you know, here in Spain, there's a lot of chatter about what Xavi style is, but it really comes down to we can't afford a new coach. I really hope we just hold out for the rest of the year and make a decision from that point on, a clear, thoughtful decision on what we're going to do with Xavi going forward. All right, let's talk about some of the things that happened in the match more specifically. So we saw Alejandro Badle get hurt, and when he was walking off, I said that looks really serious, and we just got word that he's going to be out for the season. So it's too bad. Obviously, this is really bad luck for the youngster. We were looking for bright things for him at the beginning of the year. You know, we had an over-under of assists and goals for him, and he did not even come close to achieving those. I think he was definitely limited on the playing time, with Xavi having confidence in him playing more games this season. But I think it's also good because he can watch from the sidelines to see what is going on and maybe some things that he can take on for the future, because he is a bright star for our team. He's going to be the left back. I think for me, I want to see him. Obviously, he's going to bulk up. You know, he's going to get bigger. He's still really young. He just needs to know when to be physical. And I want him to take more shots, but also shots understanding the angle where he's coming from inside the box. I think a lot of times he comes inside the box, and when he is inside the box and he doesn't have anyone in front, he's at a bad angle. He can't take a shot. So I think it's one of those things, like when I watch Carolyn Graham Hansen for the Feminine on the wing, she's always aware of what angle she wants to take and how to get there to take the shot off. And so her shots are definitely more dangerous. And I think that's kind of the next evolution I want to see with Balde. It's really unfortunate. It looks like he tore a tendon in his hamstring. I mean, it looked really bad, because when you do pull your hamstring, you're still able to walk pretty normally off the field, but he was in severe pain. So it looked like it hurt a lot, and he's going to be sorely missed for sure. All right, let's talk about a couple of the bright spots. And it's you know, Lamine Yamal. This kid has been playing really, really well, really strong in the last couple matches. Obviously scores what seemed like the game winner at the moment. Really nice movement on the top of the box and just a nice hit. I mean, as a lefty myself, to hit the ball where it just doesn't spin and it just goes, I almost call it like the Grosso shot from Italy. As a lefty, you just hit that shot, side net, and you just celebrate. And Lamine Yamal just had a hell of a game. He was all over the place, creating chances. And, you know, we've talked about it all season. To pin our hopes, our play, solely on a 16-year-old is a monumental task. It's an ask more of him at this age. You know, we're asking so much of him at 16, which is, you know, not fair, essentially. We still need to see him develop. He's learning a lot of, like, how, you know, where the passing needs to go, the 1v1s. You see the movement, the crossing, and obviously the goal scoring. So he's the complete package. He's definitely our winger for the future, and it's really great to see. And, you know, it's funny because my buddy Brant texted me during the match, and we're going to talk about the next player, Hector Ford, and he just wrote to me. He's like, man, La Masia, such a gem. And again, if it weren't for La Masia, we would be I can't even think about where we would be, because these La Masia players have really helped bridge the gap to keep us competing. And they're so good. They're so mature for their age. I mean, think about, and I always bring this up, I just cannot believe how good this youth academy is for Barcelona. You think about any other team to have one or two starters from their youth academy at a young age to come and not only play, but also sparkle is like unheard of. And we have this every year, it seems like. It's pretty incredible. I mean, when you build a team, especially in European football, you are relying heavily on the youth pipeline, right? To make money, to get players. And you dream of a class to come in, you know, like Manchester United did back in the 90s. You dream of a class to come in, like Barca during the Pep heyday, right? You dream of that type of situation where you get 3-4 players coming in and playing together for 10 years. But the fact that we're able to continually plug and play these players at 16, 17, 18, and demanding this type of performances is insane. And they keep stepping up. Now, obviously, you know, with Lamine Yamal, we've seen throughout the season so far, he's been up and down. And that is to be expected. He is 16 years old. But man, he had a hell of a game. And unfortunately, he missed the game winner. And we were talking about in the WhatsApp is that everyone that's played has done that same exact shot. Open net, and you've kicked a field goal instead of the goal. You know, it's a lot of pressure on this kid. And he was, you know, crying at the end of the match, being consoled by Laporta. Okay, I totally understand that. But man, all the things he did in the match, it shouldn't have been on the last play where he screwed up and that's the fate of Barcelona. Like, it's just not fair. And yeah, again, you watch that play, the way he pressured and then steals the ball, takes it 1v1, and then, you know, hits it, but unfortunately hit it high. Just the whole understanding of the press and what to do. I mean, again, he's 16 years old. It's incredible. It's incredible. He is a bright spot of this season for sure, and someone we will be leaning on in the next, 5-6 years at least, you know? I mean, 16 is just crazy. Another bright spot of La Masia product is Hector Ford. Again, he comes in to spell Alejandro Balde. Again, another La Masia product. He's 17-year-old. He comes in and not even a dip on play, right? Like, that's what's... you think about any other sport, right? Like, for example, I was watching my 49ers last weekend, and Green Bay was tearing us apart. They were picking on this cornerback, right, who is the third cornerback. So usually he doesn't play that often. And in this game, they made him play a lot. And he was exposed. He made a lot of errors and plays. Like, that's what's normally expected, right? Like, if you're not good enough player, you're going to make errors. There's going to be a different performance. And we did not see this with this kid. He's 17, comes in, Copa del Rey, in San Mamés, all that pressure, trying to guard the flank. And he did an amazing job. He did an amazing job. And again, this kid, you know, just comes in and plugs and plays, right? And he was, maybe he doesn't have the glitz and the glamour as Balde does on the attacking, but you could definitely tell he is a sound defender. I mean, how many times did he really get beat? He didn't, you know, he was very solid on that side. So again, the pipeline continues to bring talent, and it's just an impressive feat, as always. So those are basically the highlights that I wanted to highlight. You know, with this match, I don't think there isn't much more we can say. I mean, this idea of Lewandowski, Ferran, João Felix, I mean, it's just the same thing over and over again, right? It's it's chances missed, Frankie DeYoung losing mental concentration on the second goal. It's like, man, what are we doing? What are we doing? Like, it's just, for all the things that Frankie DeYoung does, I mean, he's doing so much. He cannot be the last man defending the cross. Like, it just can't. And we're so fundamentally flawed. We just are. And Gundogan, like, I know he's playing out of position, and it's just driving me mad, because how is it that we had Gundogan's career year last year? Career year he had. In goals and assists and performances, he was one of the main drivers in City's performances last year, right? It was him, Haaland, and Rodri. Like, those are the three guys. And Gundogan, man, it's just like Xavi just putting these players in limited roles. It's just, it's so maddening. It's so maddening. We continue to do the same thing. Anyway, that's my rant on the Copa del Rey. My last things, you know, with Xavi is like, we have to keep him. I mean, financially, we can't afford to fire him. And the other thing I think, too, is the Victor Roque situation. I don't understand what's going on with that situation. You know, I feel if you really want to win the Copa del Rey, and you really feel deep in your, as my friend and I always say, deep in your plums, that you really want this victory at the Copa del Rey, don't you just throw every attacker out there? I mean, Victor Roque, to me, I mean, yeah, use him. Put him out there. Use everyone you got. Empty that bench. But again, he chose Marc Jao instead. Okay, fine. I mean, he said after the match was because he wanted a more direct approach. That's what Xavi said. He wanted a more direct approach. Is that what we got? No. One thing I know we're not is direct. That is one thing I'm not a betting man, but one thing we are definitely not is our attack is not direct. Okay? It is very indirect. Yeah. So again, Xavi always just mincing words at the end. And as I put in the chat, I said, if this guy asks us to forgive him after this match, it's like you're reading the room completely wrong, you know? Completely wrong. And he said, again, you know, the team wasn't focused enough. And it's like, these are the things a professional coach has to do. And when you're not doing them, you're not a good coach. I mean, that's just plain and simple. All right, let's get into some other news and notes. Mark Ter Stegen has a back to training, making progress. He's training on the field. It looks like he's going to be back pretty soon. But again, he's expected to come back for the Napoli match. Does it help us? Sure. I mean, I think Iñaki Peña has been fine. Sure. As we've been seeing, sometimes maybe he isn't as the strong in the air, but to me, I think he's been okay. I think it's more of our defense allowing so many counters and mental lapses. Like, for example, do you think Ter Stegen stops that goal in the first half or the first goal against Athletic Bilbao? No. I mean, it's nothing that we're upgrading from. There isn't a massive difference between the two keepers. So it is nice to have him back, obviously. But again, to what degree, sure. I'm happy he's coming back and that he's recovering well from injury. All right, so Barcelona are playing Villarreal this weekend. And as I was searching, I did get quite scared. Even though Villarreal are sitting 14th right now at 20 points, their last five games, one win, three losses, one tie. So obviously not been playing too well since the start of La Liga. But one thing does scare me about this team. And again, every team that we play knows the playbook against Barcelona. And the head coach or the manager, head coach, sorry about that. Still got football in the mind. And the manager of Villarreal, Marcelino, knows Barcelona very well. They play a dynamic 4-4-2, and the two people that scare me are the two top forwards. They complement each other very well. one is big and burly and the other one is the playmaker. I mean, that's what you dream up of as a 4-4-2, right? You have the one guy posting up and the other one running around like an electron playmaking around that. So the first forward, the playmaker, I would say more, is Gerard Moreno. He has 9 goals, 2 assists. And he is known as a clinical finisher, but more importantly, it's about his vision, his passing, and his ball control. Knowing what we know about Barca's defense, this is going to create some problems for us, for sure, because Moreno is diving in on the left and on the right. He's not a static two forward up there, you know? And so that's going to create some problems for us. Now, obviously, Villarreal, as the rest of the team, not playing as well. So, yeah, if we have the possession, we should be able to limit Villarreal's opportunities. We are playing at home, so that's also a bonus. If we were playing at the Cerámica, I would say, you know, could be dicey, but we're playing at home, so that is to our benefit. Again, 9 goals, 2 assists, nothing to gnaw at. Gerard Moreno. The other player, his counterpart, Alexander Sørloth, I hope I'm saying it right, Norwegian striker, 6'4". Oh, God. He's 6'4", or 1.94 meters for the rest of the world. So this is your classic 4-4-2, baby. You got the height top player, Sørloth, over there. And obviously, when you're looking at his scouting report, what's the first thing that they say? Aerial ability. Of course, 6'4". You should be very good in the air. And he's at 7 goals and 2 assists. So again, the combo of them two is 15, which is pretty good, pretty well balanced so far. Obviously, the rest of the team has been suffering. So when we look at these two forwards, we have the classic hold-up forward with Sørloth, who's going to hold up play. He's going to position himself first up there, and Gerard Moreno is going to play off of him. Now, we can't expect a lot of crosses, and we will see how Villarreal are on the counters. But again, it doesn't matter what team we're playing. Every team's going to counter us, and they counter well because our defense in transition is not good. So we're hoping to get the 3 points. But again, it's going to be a dogfight. All these matches are going to be a dogfight. You know, we are incapable right now of beating anyone 4-0 and having a clean sheet and playing well. The stars have to align for that to happen. Either Villarreal have to like lose a man, the moon aligns, all these things. It's going to be a difficult match, even though they're sitting 14th. We are reeling. I'm just wondering how up they're going to be for this match. That's the other thing. Coming off the Copa del Rey loss from Wednesday night, playing Saturday at 6:30 on top of that, which is not ideal. 6:30, again, it's like right after that siesta time. Local time, 6:30 kickoff at Barcelona. So we'll see if we can get those 3 points. All right, let's finish the episode with Femini. Again, as Remy said last episode, the team that embodies the true DNA of Barca right now is the Femini. They won the group stage in Champions League last night, beating Eintracht Frankfurt 2-0. Again, this team continues to roll. They're still waiting to announce the next coach for next season. I'm curious to see who takes the helm of that. I'm still not understanding why the manager is leaving Femini. I mean, he's going to the States, sure, more money, I get it. But to me, you know, as we talked about in our WhatsApp group about this philosophy about the women's league here in Spain not being competitive and so forth. But again, Rome wasn't built over in one night, right? So the thing is, these football teams are investing more money, which is great, so they can get more players. But it really comes down to the Champions League issue with this. I just think it has more prestige. I think the fact that these well-known football clubs have women's team now, just a little bit more, class to it as well. It has a name brand as opposed to, let's say, the North American Women's League, which is, it's its own thing. It's not attached to any of the MLS teams. They don't really have that much of a backing. I think, again, I'm always say the manager, Jonathan Grimaldes, is going to have an awakening, seeing the culture of football that doesn't exist in the U.S., unfortunately, compared to Spain. And I think it's going to be a big shock for him. But, you know, I wish he was staying because I really want him to continue this run. I think he's doing an outstanding job with his team. He understands the rotation, especially like the substitution patterns with these players. He understands how to use them, start them, sit them, and he just gets maximum performances from the team. Especially, for example, I always judge, especially the Femini, when they roll out the youngsters and they still are able to win and look menacing. I think that is really something special. And he has them very disciplined. I mean, almost the opposite things that we see with the men's team, you know? They're very disciplined. They're sound defensively. They love scoring. They score a lot of goals. And they're just so smart. Football IQ is off the charts with this team. And they're just a pleasure to watch. So they won the group stage. They're going to be playing this weekend. And they continue to roll and dominate. Again, if you're not watching them, you should definitely check them out. They are available, I think, on DAZN on the app and so forth. So you can find them on YouTube as well. So anyway, that's going to do it for my Friday episode here, riding solo. I hope everyone has a good weekend. Forza Barca and go Niners.
Podcast Network.